I enjoyed that good singing. You sing very well here. You really sing out those hymns. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This morning, in our time together, we looked at the glory of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And tonight, we'd like to look at the Lord Jesus, how we personally can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to look at this portion of God's Word, chapter 10, verses 16 to the end of the chapter, 16 to verse 33. It's so good as we open our Bibles, the Scriptures, to remember that what we have here is true. The Word of God is true. There's no errors in it. There's no mistakes in it. Each word is penned for us. And this past week in our childbirth class, Faith and I, Faith will be giving birth in about six weeks. And we go to a childbirth class this week. We're going to miss it. We'll be at Congress. But last week they had a little paper. And I was going through this paper about children, about different aspects of raising children. And there's an article there. And it just showed me over again how what we write so often is filled with mistakes. Large mistakes and small mistakes. I'd just like to read to you a little bit here of how easy it is for us to make mistakes. But God's Word, it has no mistakes in it. There's no errors. There's no faults in it. There's no slips of the pen. Each word that we have here comes from the Lord Himself. A teacher for about 25 years saved all the different excuse notes that she received from parents when the children were sick in his class, in her class rather. And some of them, it's so interesting to see how easy it is to make small mistakes. I'll just read to you some of these mistakes that he received over the years. One of the notes he received says this: "My son is under the doctor's care and should not take PE today. Please execute him." Another one was similar. It said, please excuse Mary for being absent. She was sick and I had her shot. Another one says, please excuse Ray from school. He has very loose vowels. And then the last one is, please excuse Jimmy for being. I guess the one who was writing this just forgot to say what he was being. And then they wrote, for it was his father's fault. And I think it's just good to remember. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to make mistakes. It's so easy just to write things out and we're not thinking and we make mistakes. And we laugh at these things, but it's so good as we come back to God's Word to remember there's no mistakes. It's true. Each page, each word, each sentence is penned by God through human hands and is given to us so we can learn from it. And tonight we want to look at this portion of God's Word, how we ourselves can bring glory to God. And I think that's the highest calling any person can have. Just to think that we as human beings, we who can write excuses like that and make easy mistakes, how that we can bring glory to the highest being in this universe, the one who spoke and the worlds were. What we do, how we act, what we wear, how we speak, how we treat others, all the things we do can bring glory to God. The key verse in this portion of God's Word is in verse 31. It says, whether therefore you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All the things we do, we can bring glory to God by what we do. As you look at that and think about that and consider that, that's one of the greatest concepts to human beings. That we can bring glory to a God who spoke, who is all-powerful, who is sovereign, who if he wanted to speak, he could speak and destroy the entire world just by speaking. And we mock him, we curse him, we blame him, and he is merciful and allows us to go in that way. And we as Christians can bring glory to God. What a tremendous concept. And I trust tonight as we look at this that we'll see how we personally can bring glory to God and that we will in our lives strive to do more to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read together from verses 16 in chapter 10, verses 16 through 33. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of the one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are they not the eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Whatever is sold in the market, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Greeks, nor the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We have here how we can bring glory to God in this chapter, verse 16 through 33. And also, Paul carries it over, I believe, in chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. We'll look also briefly at that tonight. But here he tells us the key verse again, verse 31. What we eat, what we drink, what we do can bring glory to God. I believe that's one of the highest callings we can have. And tonight I'd like to challenge you and ask you to think about your own lives. The things you've done this week, the things you've done today, the Lord's Supper that we gathered together at this morning. Did we bring glory to God in that? The smaller things we've done, what we've worn, what we've said, how we've treated others, did that bring glory to God? All the things that we do can bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a thing I believe we should think more and more about. I believe that's the purpose we're here. One of the great purposes of the Christian life is how we bring glory to God in our lives here on earth. When I was in high school, I bought my first car. It was $100. It was a 1963 Rambler, and it was rusted. It was had dents in the side of it. When I bought it, it didn't have a battery. It was very strong. And so I had to park it on a hill, and I would roll down the hill and jump start it, get it started sometimes. It wasn't a very good car. It wasn't a prized car that others would want. But I was very proud of that car. I was 17 years old. I could just drive in New Jersey, and it was my first car. I paid about $100 for that car. And the first week I had it, I drove into the backyard. I washed it, and I waxed it, and I washed it, and I waxed it, and I vacuumed it, and I polished it, and I waxed it. And I was so proud of the car, I just did all that I could to make it look better. And as I thought about that, as I thought of all the time I put into that car, to wax it and polish it and do all I could to vacuum it and clean it up and make it shine, that car wasn't worth very much. But I put all this energy into it to make it look better. And I think about all the things in my life still today, all the things that I spend so much time on, beautifying and polishing and waxing, making look good, that's not worth very much. You think about our own lives, all the things we spend a lot of time in, things that are worthless sometimes, of very little value. I think of this past month, I like basketball and the playoffs were on TV. And you just think of all the time I sat in front of that TV watching basketball. And sometimes I just catch myself and I say to myself, what am I doing watching for 2 hours this basketball game? I don't benefit from it. It's a certain enjoyment I get from that. But after you finish, you think I've just wasted, in a sense, 2 hours here watching this basketball game. And I think to myself, of all the different things we spend time in, that isn't of great value. The object we glorify or beautify or make shine or whatever we have, all the things we do. But we can glorify and we can praise the highest being, the most worthy being in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much more time we should spend glorifying Him and all our time on Him and making Him more glorious to others around us, that they can see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, in chapter 10 and chapter 11, we have comparisons in both of them. It's interesting. One of the great comparisons Paul has here is the Lord's Supper. The differences we have in chapter 10 and chapter 11. And let's look at that for a short time this evening. First of all, we have in chapter 10, in verse 16 and 17, a portion there about the Lord's Supper. He says there, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not communion with the body of Christ? And we see here again, we see here a picture of the Lord's Supper and a certain aspect here of the Lord's Supper. And also over in chapter 11, we have there also a section about the Lord's Supper and what it really means. And both of these are very different. Chapter 10 is different than chapter 11. Now let's just look at that for a few moments tonight, how these two chapters are different from each other. It's interesting, first of all, the language in both chapters are different. In chapter 10, it's more figurative, more symbolic. Notice what he says as he speaks. He says, we are one body. Speaking of the church, we are one body. He says also here that we are the bread, the loaf, the one loaf is the church. It's very symbolic in the things that he says. In chapter 11, it's a little bit different. It's not as symbolic. He says here, what we do, we show the Lord's death, and the things that we do, we praise and we worship. It's more literal in chapter 11. It's interesting also in chapter 10, the activity that we're doing at the Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper. He says there in chapter 10 that we're partakers of the Lord's table. In chapter 11, we're rememberers. We remember the Lord at the Lord's table. It's interesting also, the symbol of the bread in chapter 10 is different than the symbol in chapter 11. He says in chapter 10, the bread is the church, is the one body. In chapter 11 and in verse 24, he says the bread is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's differences in both chapters. He says also the danger is different in chapter 10 and chapter 11. He says the danger in chapter 10 is having fellowship at the table of demons and also at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, do not do that. And then in chapter 11, he says, discern the Lord's body in verse 27 and 28. Examine himself to see if he should eat or not. So we see that as well. And we see here also that the function differs in chapter 10 and chapter 11. We bless the cup. And in chapter 11, we remember and we proclaim the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, if you go back and look at chapter 10 more, we see here how we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at that tonight a little bit more. How can we bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the goal of each believer, to bring glory to the one who saved us and created all things. It's interesting, this theme is brought out all through this book. 18 times, Paul uses the word glory in this book. In chapters 1 through 9, he uses it in the sense of boasting. Let's look at some of those passages. And then in chapter 10 and 11, the word differs. And here's doxia, which means to bring glory to the Lord himself. Not boasting in yourself, but boasting and glorifying and proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to chapter 1 of this book. And look there for a few moments. 18 times the word glory is used, and there's a sense of that word glory which means to boast. And the Greek word, in fact, means to boast. Some of the newer translations have it translate in that way. The latter part of chapter 1, we have some of those instances. In verse 29, he says that no flesh should glory in his presence, or no flesh should boast in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's one of the first instances of this word. And also in verse 31, he says, he that glorieth, or he that boasts, let him boast or glory in the Lord. And also we have in chapter 5, he says there in verse 6, he says, your glorying is not good. They were boasting in their sins of what they were doing in the assembly. He said, your boasting in what you were doing is not good. And all through this book, from chapters 1 to chapter 9, you can also turn over to chapter 9, another instance there of Paul as he's speaking about himself. And in verse 16, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. And over again, we see this phrase, glory, glory and glory over and over again. In verses 1 through, in chapters 1 through 9, we have the aspect of boasting in ourselves, what we can do. But as we come to chapter 10 and chapter 11, it's more how we can bring glory, not in ourselves, but bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have here in verse 31 the word glory, doxia, but also in chapter 11 we have it there also four times. Glory. And the word doxia. How we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us here in chapter 10 three ways that we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first way that we see here is in verse 16 through 18. He says there, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ can bring glory to him. Communion that we have with the blood of Christ. Fellowship we have with the body of Christ. This brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship with him. And then also in verses 20 through 22, he speaks there again of how we can bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, it's not by fellowship this time, but here he says it's through separation. What we separate ourselves from brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 23 through 33, how we treat other people brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And also further on, as he carries this thought through in chapter 11, he says there that what we wear can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The head covering in assembly gatherings can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Four ways, four simple ways. A lot of times we think about glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, how we can honor him and glorify him. Sometimes we think of great things we can do, leading hundreds to the Lord Jesus Christ, or doing great things for him, feeding hundreds or thousands that are in need, doing great things for him. But I believe here, as Paul speaks, how we can bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't say any of those things. He doesn't say do great things. He doesn't place great demands upon us. He speaks about the very simple things we all can do. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Separation from what is wrong. How we treat other people and what we wear. These are four things that he says we can do. It's so interesting in Scripture or in ourselves. Sometimes we think the great things we do brings more glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to thousands or hundreds about him and seeing them come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings more honor to him than something smaller. Let's turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and look at this passage there for a few moments. I believe sometimes our ideas of what brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ is misplaced. We think so often in terms of greatness. And the greater the event, the greater the act, the more glory that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in chapter 1, we have a great example how this works often in our lives. In chapter 1, in verse 40 to 45, we have a situation there, a man who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in verse 40 he says, he kneels before the Lord and he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord, in verse 41, says, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and he touched that man. And he said, I will. And he said, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Notice what it says next, verse 43 to the end. He strictly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, saying, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. What does this man do? Did he obey? Did he do what the Lord said? Verse 45, but he went out, and began to publish it much, to spread abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was out in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. If I was to see this and not know what Christ had said to this man, we would all say it was a tremendous work that he had done for the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached about the Lord Jesus, and they came to the Lord Jesus from all over that area. He was greatly successful. He did a great thing for the Lord. They all were drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great event. It was a great work that he had done for the Lord Jesus. And we think if we had seen this, it was a tremendous act that brought glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. But in fact, it dishonored him. It brought dishonor to him. It didn't honor him at all. He told this man not to say a word. The man went out and disobeyed him. And he openly rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he brought no honor at all. It was outright disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, often we see things and they're done wrongly. And we know they're done wrongly in Christian circles. But they bring a lot of results. And we say, doesn't that bring a lot of honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Even though they're small things, the Lord will overlook those things. And all the results we see and all the benefits we see, that brings honor still to the Lord Jesus. Over further in chapter 1, verse 29 through 31, we have another incident. Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, it says. And in verse 29, they came from the synagogue into the house. And in verse 30, we see they're laying sick of a fever. And it says in verse 30, they straightway told him of her. And it says in verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And it says there, she ministered unto them. The Lord never asked her to do anything. Out of gratitude, out of thankfulness, she served the Lord Jesus. It was a small act, maybe a meal, maybe in some small way, she served those people that were there. Maybe 8 or 9 people were there, says Andrew and James and John were there. No one saw it. Jesus didn't ask it. It wasn't a glorious act. It was a simple, obedient act out of thankfulness, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, a simple meal. I believe as we look at this chapter, that this small act of serving the Lord that no one saw besides those 8 people brought much more glory than all the hundreds that came to the Lord Jesus through the preaching of this leper who was cleansed. And often our eyes look at those things that are glorious, those things that are great, those things that draw many, many people. The more people, the more glorious often we think. And here we see it's not true. The act that brought many people to the Lord Jesus brought him dishonor. It was outright disobedience to the Lord. Back in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, we see there small acts, obedient acts that we do for the Lord brings him glory. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ brings him much glory. We need not do great things. The Lord also appreciates those great things. When Billy Graham has a crusade somewhere and hundreds come forward, that brings much glory to him. Most of us can't do that. Most of us can't do those great acts. And Paul is saying here, each one of us is involved in serving the Lord, and we all can be involved in bringing him much glory. The first thing we can do is have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the highest things we can do is spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That honors him. When we say that we're following him, we've been saved and we're walking with him, and we spend no time in prayer, in Bible reading, in meditation in his word, and with him, brings no honor to him. If we care about someone, if I care about my wife, I'll spend time with her. But if we don't spend time with the Lord, it shows, in fact, that we don't really care. He's not important to us. And I think it's so important to spend more and more time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings glory to his name. When I was first saved, I was raised in an assembly like this one, and I was in the assembly my whole life, and for probably most of my life, I didn't understand very much what the Lord's Supper was all about. I came every week, I sat there every week, I had my hymn book and my Bible, but in fact, I didn't understand, I didn't enter into what the Lord's Supper was all about. And I decided after I was saved that I would spend time, I would study, I would commit myself to in-depth Bible study to see what the Lord's Supper was all about. And so I studied all the words in Scripture about the Lord's Supper, about the body of Christ, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ. What does the Lord's Supper mean? If he calls us each week to remember him, it must be important to him. What does it mean? How can I appreciate that more? How can I enter in more fully to that? How can he get more glory from me as I'm there at the Lord's Supper? So I did that. I spent time. I got my concordance out, and I studied, and I got other books out. And I would also encourage you to do that. Spend time and understand what is the Lord's Supper. Why do we come each Sunday morning, each Lord's Day, and remember the Lord? It's important to him. It should also be important to us, and we should understand what we are doing there. And so I did that. And it's interesting, as I did that, it wasn't the knowledge that I had about the Lord's Supper that made it more important to me. But as I spent more time studying about the Lord and his death and his person and his sacrifice for me, the Lord's Supper became more important to me. It wasn't what I understood about the Lord's Supper, facts that I had about it, figures that I had about it. But the Lord became more important. He was my focus. And then the Lord's Supper became more important. And I believe my study and my time that I put into understanding more about the Lord and his offering and his sacrifice for me, that in itself brought more glory to the Lord than understanding the facts and the aspects about the Lord's Supper. We need to spend more time with him. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ brings glory to him. And I believe that's one aspect that we need to improve more upon in assemblies. To know, to have our focus as the Lord Jesus Christ. Our attention directed to Him and not at other things. Another thing we see here in verses 20 through 22 is separation. A forgotten theme, I think, in New Testament assemblies. That what we separate from also brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we separate from evil, separate from wrong companions, separate from things we know are wrong, that brings glory to the Lord. We often think it's the things we do that brings glory to the Lord. But Paul says it's also those things that we separate ourselves from brings glory to Him. He says it's impossible to go to a pagan temple, offer an offering there, partake of that offering, worship an idol where demons are behind that idol. And he says, and also the next week or that same very week, go into the assembly there and also worship the Lord Jesus Christ there. We can have no part of the table of demons, he says in verse 21, and also the Lord's table. We need to separate ourselves from the table of demons, from that which is wrong and evil. I believe as we do that, as we separate ourselves from that, it shows to the Lord and shows to the world, proclaims to the world what is important to us. When we separate ourselves from something that is wrong, something that is of the world, is not of Christ, it shows to the world that the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to us, is important to us. But if we go to the temple of demons, pagan temple, and also to the assembly and fellowship affairs in the assembly, we're saying to the world, both are of equal value. Things in the world are just as good and precious to us, important to us as the things of the Lord. And here he says, separate yourselves from that to show to the world that the Lord, the things of the Lord, the things in the assembly are more important to us, are more valuable to us than the things in the world. And so often, believers do the same things as unbelievers. We see the same films as unbelievers. We go to the same places as unbelievers. And they look at us and say, there's no difference between me and you. You do the same things I do. And as we separate ourselves and say, I'm not going to do that. They say, why aren't you going to do that thing? Well, I'm a saved person. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has no attraction for me. I have no interest in that kind of thing. And they see from your actions, from your lifestyle, that you're a different person. You have a different focus in your life. The Lord's more important to you than all those other things. He satisfies you and not those other things. I remember when I college and went to an intervarsity retreat. And at the lunch meal one time, they decided to have a experiment. They would, at each table that they had, there were four or five people were, they would serve a different quality meal. At one table, it had a T-bone steak, and it had salad, and a dessert, and a drink. Another table, it had hamburgers, and they had French fries and water. At my table, where I was, we had cornbread, a glass of water, and grease gravy. That's all we had. And the idea of that little experiment was to look around, look at that table, look at that table, and then share with each other. In the world, certain countries have less food, other countries have more food, and we as Christians should share with each other. So that the table that had the T-bone steak and the salad and the dessert, they didn't look around, they just saw their food and didn't think about other people. They said, well, I'm just going to dig in and eat my food. And they thought everyone else had the same meal that they had. Other table had the hamburger and they didn't think much about that. But we looked around because we had the cornbread, the water, and the grease gravy. And we thought, something's wrong here. This doesn't satisfy us. We want something different. But it's interesting, the first table, they never looked at us. They didn't care about what we had. They had something very important, very valuable, very, very satisfying for them. T-bone steak, salad, dessert, a drink. They didn't look at us. As believers, when we're separated and when we're devoted to the Lord Jesus, when He satisfies us, we don't look at other things. We don't get involved with other things. They don't interest us. They don't attract us to what that is. The Lord satisfies our heart. And it says to the world, what a Christian has is very precious and very satisfying and will draw them to it. I encourage you, if there's things in your life that you should separate from, come away from those things. Draw away from those things and the world will see that there's a difference in your life than from other people. He says also here in verses 23 through 33, he says there that what we do, how we act, how we treat others, how we eat, will also bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's. How we treat someone else, how we speak to them, if we encourage them, the things we say and do to them, that will also bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important thing. He says also, if you go to a man's home in verse 27, and he feeds you a meal of something that was offered to an idol in a pagan temple. He says, eat that thing that was served to you, that meal that was served to you, asking no questions. He has no conscience about that, and you could go and eat that thing. But he says, if you go to a meal, and a man has a conscience about what is served to him, don't serve that to him. Don't eat that for his conscience sake, not for your own conscience sake. He says, the things you do can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. How you treat someone else, how you act before someone else can glorify the Lord in what you do and what you say. He says there in verse 31, whatever you do, what you eat, what you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 32, he says, give no offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Greeks, nor to the church of God. It's interesting also in chapter 10 and chapter 11, we have there how different people can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, we have two aspects. How in chapter 11, verses 1 through 16, how a woman in the assembly can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there, by wearing a head covering, she can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a small thing, an obedient thing, but a very small thing. To wear a piece of clothing can bring honor as we recognize the headship of Christ within the assembly. Order that God has given for the assembly. He says also over in chapter 10, there's an order for the man to bring glory to God outside of the assembly. Notice in chapter 10, four times the man is addressed in what he does, how he leads his family, how he serves someone in his home, what he brings into his home, how he orders his home, brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15, to the end of the chapter, he's addressing primarily the man outside the assembly. In chapter 11, 1 through 16, he's addressing the woman inside of the assembly, and he says in both cases they can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15, he speaks, and he says, I speak to you as wise men. Judge what I say. This is outside of the assembly, in a home. He says also in verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. He says also in verse 28, if any man say unto you, this whole portion, verse 15 to the end of the chapter, is addressed to the men, the leaders of the home, meat that is eaten in a home, what is purchased for the home, how he orders his home. He says, this is your responsibility, how you order your home and those who come into your home, how you treat them within your home, brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're responsible for bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in your own personal home, outside of the assembly. And then he says here in chapter 11, the woman is addressed. She has a responsibility. How she orders herself, what she wears inside the assembly. She's spoken to in this chapter. And he says here, when you wear a head covering, there's a visible sign of order within the assembly, and that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says also in chapter 10, how that household's order in chapter 10 brings glory again to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing. The small things we do in life, fellowship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the separation we have from things that are wrong, the way we treat other people brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in college, when I first was saved, I was interested in serving the Lord, and someone told me in college, in the intervarsity group, about a certain work in Newark, New Jersey. It was an inner city work, and the work was with children, and the idea was to devote yourself to the children. You had to commit yourself to 10 years working in the inner city with these children, that they could see someone who is an example to them, a model to them, and they could, as they grew up in the church, that they could then follow the Lord. They would have someone who was always there that they could look up to. The families were often broken, and they had to have someone who they could look up to. And the group was called World Impact, and they were in different areas of the country, Chicago, New York City, Newark, New Jersey, Los Angeles. And when I was there, a man told me something. The head of the organization there told me something very important, and it's always stuck with me throughout my life. And it was about how we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus, our attitudes about different things. He says there, whatever you do, whether you come with us and work with us or go somewhere else, he said, don't think about how you can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ primarily. What you do, he said, there's many options of what you could do. You could stay here or go somewhere else or go to another place. There's so many things in each situation that's before us that we can do. There's so many different options that we have. And he said, you know, certain options can bring glory to God. If you serve with us, it can also bring glory to God. If you go somewhere else and serve the Lord, that can bring glory to God. He said, but sometimes in all of those, there's one choice that you have that will bring the most glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. In each situation that you have, there's different options you can choose. And many of them dishonor the Lord, some honor the Lord, some bring the Lord the most honor. And he said, whatever you do, whatever you choose to do in your life, he said, make sure that you pray, you seek out, ask counsel, and then choose and follow the thing that brings him the most glory. All right, I've always thought about that. A lot of things we do can bring him honor, please him, but there's sometimes there's a thing that is more difficult for us, more challenging for us, and it's the thing that brings him the most honor. We choose not to do that sometimes. But that's what he wants from us. And other things bring him honor. A man here, he might have done everything else in his household that was right, but he would offend someone, a Jew or a Greek. The things that he did in his life would glorify God, but they wouldn't bring the most honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the things that we should do in our lives, whatever we choose, in the assembly, outside the assembly, serving the Lord, treating someone else, fellowship with Christ, we should do the things that bring him the most honor in our lives. I would just challenge you today, tonight, that you think about your own life, the things you do. Are you bringing glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you bringing the most glory and honor you can bring to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our calling, to bring the most honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you this week, do something, or in all that you do, consider the things you do, and then choose the thing that brings him the most honor in our lives. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. I thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to bring you honor in our lives, glory in our lives. And so often, Father, we choose things that dishonor you, that are disrespectful, that are things that do not bring you the most honor. And I would pray, Father, that you would help myself and all those that are here, that on all that we do within the assembly, as women, as men, outside the assembly, as women and as men, that we choose to do the thing that brings him the most honor. Father, we often do things that do not please you. It's often we choose the things that don't bring you the most honor. And I would ask you to help us to be obedient, be sensitive, to be discerning, and then also have the strength to follow and do the thing that brings you the most honor. I pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.